What's up, everybody? This is Nick Brent. Thanks for joining us for a Circuit Rider podcast. To know us, we are a YWAM missions movement in Huntington Beach, California, with a passion to save the lost, revive the saved, and train them all. You are listening to a Circuit Rider podcast.
I'm just so encouraged. Is there like a table or something like that that somebody can grab for me? Thanks, dude. Can you find it? okay. Man, okay, who did everybody bring their salvation encounter today? Who did not? Who does not have one of these salvation encounters? Okay, cool. Did you guys just leave them at the... Thank you, bro. Did you leave them at the hotel? Is that what happened? Okay. So either get next to someone who brought one. Yeah, a little greasy. That's all right. Or keep your hand raised and somebody will bring you one. But you have to give this back. So you can't have two of them. So if you borrow one today, you just have to give it back by the end of the day. Okay, so we're going to go through just kind of what the Bible really talks about when we say the word salvation. Everybody say salvation.
Salvation.
So a bunch of us last night had these radical, wild encounters with Jesus that were completely life-changing, right, and brought us into real relationship with Jesus. Raise your hand if you had that type of encounter last night. That's right. That's like a ton of us. So growing up, guys, part of my story is I grew up in kind of a Christian home, right? Grew up in the church. I was kind of like the ultimate youth group kid, okay? Raise your hand in here if you're a youth group kid. There's a couple of us in here, right? So I was like the ultimate youth group kid, but the crazy part about my story is that I actually came to this camp 11 years ago when I was 16 years old. Isn't that crazy? I was sitting in your seat at camp. During those days, it was called Infusion. Okay, got my life completely changed by Jesus. But the thing was, I had been, you know, going to youth group my whole life, right? And believed in Jesus. I really had a real relationship with Jesus. But at that year at camp, I realized that I didn't actually know why we really even needed to be saved. Other than like, man, I just, you know, am struggling with things in my life and I need Jesus. I couldn't communicate, okay, why is it that I actually need salvation? What did it mean when Jesus died on the cross? Why did that actually save me? Does that make sense? Right, and so we call the act that Jesus did when he came to the earth, we call it the gospel. Everybody say the gospel.
The gospel.
So the gospel is when Jesus came to the earth, paid the price for our sins, died on the cross so that we could be saved, all right? And so this morning, we're going to get a little bit deeper into the gospel, okay? So I want you guys to open your Salvation Encounter book to page 10. All right, again, I want you to raise your hand if you need to borrow a book. Again, you guys are going to give these back to Jason after class today. If you don't have one, you should have been given one when you checked in. You were? Okay, then that's yours.
No, you were, but I remember you were in one. But I think a lot of people left theirs at the church on arrival day. So if you're one of those people that didn't have it when you got to the hotel, you can keep the one that you have.
Yes. Sweet. Okay, so open to page 10. We're going to go in on salvation. Oh, let's give it up for Timmy right now. Give it up for our sponsor, Starbucks. Okay. Okay, y'all. So at Riders Youth Camp, again, I've told you time and time again, I'm going to make you read things out loud. I'm going to make you repeat after me. So today isn't really the time to kind of just sit back through the teaching. I'm going to be making you stand up, sit down, read out loud, and get wild literally all morning. Okay, so I need you to kind of, you know, engage, get on the edge of your seat. Now, I'm going to get you to stand up because we're going to read this first paragraph in bold together. Okay, and like everything we do at Riders is we get a little wild, okay? Don't we like to get a little wild?
Yes.
Right? I don't know. I just saw you dancing like crazy on the stage. We're going to get a little wild. So we got to read this paragraph with some umph. Everybody say umph. Okay. We're going to read this together where it says salvation is in Jesus. Y'all ready?
Yes.
All right, one, two, three.
Salvation is in Jesus.
Okay, wait. That was like level one umph. I need to go like level 100 umph.
Is that even a level?
Salvation!
Yeah, that's what I want to be hearing, okay? Let's try that again. 1, 2, 3. Salvation is in Jesus Christ. And to be saved, you must have an encounter with Jesus Christ. A salvation encounter is not about repeating words, filling out cards, or agreeing with a set of facts. Salvation is not about religion, but it is Jesus Christ. Woo! That is what is up, right? Sometimes growing up in the church, we can think, okay, well, if I agree with this, then I'm saved. But the reality is we need to meet the man Jesus in order to know Jesus, right? My friend always says, do you know Jesus? And I guess this is a little outdated now, but it was, do you know Jesus like Obama or do you know him like your mama, right? Because you know who Obama is. He used to be the president, but you know your mom differently, right? Because you've met her and you know her, right? So do we really know Jesus? Have we encountered Jesus? All right, we're going to read a little farther in that next paragraph when it says when you encounter Jesus. Y'all see that? All right, let's go. 1, 2, 3. When you encounter Jesus,
you suddenly become aware of your need to be saved from the life in which you are trapped.
You do not need to convince someone who is a slave that they are a slave and trapped with no way out. You do not need to tell a girl who is trapped in sex trafficking that she needs to be set free. So it is the same with you and me. When we meet Jesus, who can actually set us free from a life dominated by the force of sin, we do not need to be convinced. Stop right there. All right, we're going to read this Bible verse, John 8:34. You see that? All right, 1, 2, 3. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. All right, y'all can sit for a second. Man, that is so good. Guys, okay, sometimes in life, this is what the world thinks. I'm going to give you an insight into what our generation thinks. Our generation thinks that freedom is the ability to do whatever we want. Most of us kind of think that. We say, you know what? I can do whatever I want. That means I'm free. But man, when I got to do what my mom tells me what I need to do, I'm in bondage. Right? I'm in bondage because I got to be at school every day. I'm in bondage because, you know, I've got to do X, Y, or Z. And so we think that freedom is the ability to do whatever we want. But the Bible actually says that you're either a slave to sin or you're a slave to righteousness. And the ability and what it means to actually be free is to be free from the chains of sin that is holding our life, right? Because the reality is when we walk through addiction, we are in bondage to that addiction. We are compelled to look at that stuff, right? Or to use that substance or to do whatever it is. We actually are compelled. There's something that is inside of us that is drawing us to that sin. How many of you guys in here have ever done something like so stupid and you thought immediately, why did I do that? Right? How many of y'all may be like, you know, you did something wrong and, you know, an authority in your life asks you, did you do this? And you're just like, no. But you know, you're like, I 100% did that. And they're going to find out, why did I just lie? Right? You told a lie. Right? You know, I don't know, maybe stole something, maybe like, I don't know. I even feel like just like even hitting someone, you got mad. And maybe this is a guy thing. I remember one time I was in the locker room in middle school and these guys kept like slapping me in the back with their binder. We were just like joking around, but they kept hitting me in the back and I would turn one way and I would get smacked in the back by one guy. I'd be like, stop. And then the other guy would smack me. And I'm like, stop. And the other guy would smack me. And I remember I just got so mad that I pushed the guy over and then I just kicked the other guy like that. And I was just like, I have never done that in my whole life. Why did I just do that? And then the coach, my PE teacher was right there and he just saw me. He was like, Chip. And I was like, I don't know, man. I don't know. Something came over me and I don't know what it was. Right? And in life, when we are not in relationship with Jesus, we're actually in bondage to sin. And there's something that comes over us called our sin nature that binds us up and compels us to live opposite to the way that Jesus is calling us. All right, we're going to keep reading here. Let's stand back up on our feet. Kind of warm up your vocal cords. Right? We're going to read that next paragraph. Right where it says, right now, all over the world. You see that? Bottom left, right now, all over the world. You see it? Okay, one, two, three. Right now, all over the world, there are men and women sitting on death row waiting for their sentence of death to be fulfilled. The courts of this world have found them guilty, and justly or unjustly, the judge has issued the death sentence. There's not a day in that cell that they are not condemned. The world, before Jesus came to pay the penalty of our sin, was sitting on death row, condemned to die and be separated from God forever. Sin had no way to be paid for, and the wages of sin is death. When Jesus came, he took our sentence of death upon himself and died in our place. Jesus' gift of salvation took our death and paid for it. Stop right there. Okay, let's read that verse, John 3:18 together. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he's not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Let's read that again. One more time. Let's turn up the volume a little bit. One, two, three. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Y'all can sit down. Woo! Okay. Sometimes, guys, we can see ourselves before Jesus. The world kind of sees itself as kind of on the fence, right? Where it's like, well, I'm not really a bad person, but I'm not really a good person. Right? And we can kind of have this perspective where it's like, man, you know, when I die one day, if I did enough good stuff, then I'll go to heaven. Right? And kind of right now, my case is undecided. Right? But one day my case will be decided and I'll be either condemned or I'll be saved. Right? Because I've either done enough good stuff or because, you know, I didn't live a good life and so I'll be condemned. But the reality is, guys, that one sin is actually enough to separate us from God. And that is because God is totally perfect. Isn't it amazing that God is the most powerful being on the planet? He is completely infinite, and he's good. That means that sin can't be in his presence. So honestly, committing one sin is enough to separate us from God. But the good news is this. Is that Jesus lived a perfect life, died on a cross in order to make relationship with Jesus possible, right? And that interaction to bring us into relationship with God is what happened to a lot of us last night. So sometimes we can think, and the way we see forgiveness is like, well, okay, I'm just going to choose not to punish that sin, right? Sometimes, you know, in our relationship with our parents, maybe we can think, you know, if I did something wrong, well, mom, can you just give me mercy this one time? Just don't punish me. But the reality is that type of forgiveness, it doesn't really exist because there's a price that actually needs to be paid for sin. When we're forgiven for our sins, it's not that the debt is left unpaid. It's that the debt is actually paid by Jesus. Does that make sense? If I have a credit card and I go $10,000 in debt, right? I just swipe the card, or let's make it even bigger. I paid like 200 grand on a G-Wagon, right? And I bought the G-Wagon and, you know, paid 200 grand, put it on the credit card, then crashed the G-Wagon, lost my job, right? And was not able to pay off that debt, right? The reality is there is a huge debt that is looming over my life. And I don't just get to say, well, like, you know, can we just leave it unpaid? The debt had to be paid. But the reality is that when we had that debt in our life because of sin, Jesus didn't say, you know what? It's okay. You don't have to pay it. He says, no, I'll pay it. He says, no, I'll pay the penalty for your sin. Isn't that crazy? Is that the love of Jesus isn't just saying, hey, it's no big deal. Don't worry about your sin. It's saying, no, I love you so much that I will give everything I have. What you were supposed to pay with your very life, I'll pay with mine. Because you were the one that was supposed to be on that cross. And instead of you being on the cross, I'll do it. I'll get on the cross for you. Isn't that insane? That when we look at Jesus on the cross, we can say, Jesus, that was supposed to be me, but it's you. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving my sin, for paying the penalty of my sin. Isn't that crazy? Okay, guys, we're going to keep going. Are y'all ready? Let's stand up on our feet. We're going to read a little bit more on page 11. That top paragraph on the top left when it says, when you encounter God. Are you ready? Whew, that was deep, guys. I feel like we just need to recognize that was a deep thing. That Jesus paid the price. Are y'all thankful that Jesus paid the price? Woo! Let's just say that out together. Let's just pray for 10 seconds and thank Jesus. One, two, three, let's go. Jesus, thank you, God, for paying the penalty of our sin, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for paying the price on the cross. Thank you, Jesus. All right, let's read that out together. Y'all ready? Are you ready? All right, one, two, three. When you encounter God, you are encountering a God who has an immeasurable love for you. Yet you yourself are in a rebellious state. Oh no! Everybody say, oh no! Woo! All right, let's keep going. The sinful state. Oh, sorry. Let's actually just restart. One, two, three. When you encounter God, you are encountering a God who has an immeasurable love for you. Yet you yourself are in a rebellious state. You realize that you've been working against Jesus. The sinful state that you have lived in has opposed God. Jesus has come to you with his hands and heart open wide to you, having paid for your sin. But now is the time to admit the reality of your situation. All right, stop right there. So we're going to skip down here to the big, bold Bible verse, the bottom left of that page where it says, you belong to your father. Are you guys ready to read that out loud? Yes. All right, one, two, three. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth. There is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Let's read that next verse, Romans 6, 23. One, two, three. For the wages of sin is death. Wait, wait, wait. Let's read that again. One, two, three. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. You can sit down. Man. Again, so a lot of times the world sees themselves as, well, I'm not good or I'm not bad. But the reality is when we're not a child of God, we're actually a child of the devil. The devil has control of our lives and he is working through our lives to do his will. But when we give our lives to Jesus, God begins to work through our lives to do his will. Isn't that crazy? So the Bible says that when before salvations, it's not that, again, we're just on the fence. We're actually enemies of God. And that's what makes salvation so crazy. Isn't that Jesus would just die for an okay person or a good person, but he would actually die for his enemy. Isn't that nuts? I'm going to read this verse over here, Romans 5:10. It says, for if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? It's not that God died for us because we were good. It's not that you can do enough in your life. It's not that you've been good enough in your life that Jesus saves you. It's because you've said, Jesus, I need you to save me because I am totally an enemy of you. It's because there's nothing good in my life. It's because I'm unable to get to you to be good enough in my life that I need you to save me. Man, isn't that good? All right, I'm going to read this next paragraph out for you. You can just read along in your book. It says, knowing information about salvation is not enough to be saved. You can know something but still rebel against it or reject it. Salvation is more than knowing the story. Demons know who God is, and they also know that salvation is in Jesus. However, they hate the truth and do everything they can to rebel against it. You can agree that salvation is only found in Jesus, but that is not enough to be saved. Sometimes we can think that, man, I'm saved because I prayed the prayer on a Wednesday night, right? And not just one Wednesday night, but every Wednesday night because I need to make sure, you know? I was kind of that guy that was like, man, you know, I'm going to respond to this just because I just want to make sure. Because I don't know if last week I was really authentic, so, and I sinned some this week, so I need to get saved. Right? But the reality is that salvation is completely throwing our life on God. If you don't know this, the Bible, right, wasn't written in English. It was actually written in Hebrew and Greek. And the Greek word for salvation is to thrust our life upon. The picture is kind of like this. If we're in the ocean, has anybody ever swam in the ocean before? Has anybody ever like been out in the deep ocean, right? You've been kind of far out to sea. You know, if you've been in the deep ocean before, you know that when you're out there, it's like, man, you just look every direction and you're like, there is nothing out here. Man, that kind of makes you feel small, right? If you're in the middle of the ocean, the waves are huge, right? And before salvation, that is what we are like. We are drowning in the ocean of our sin. We look around and there is nothing that can help us. And if you are in that situation, right? I don't know if you've ever seen one of those movies where there's like a plane crash and the guy's like floating in the ocean. I don't know, maybe he like fell off a boat or something and he's looking around. If that was you, right? And it's stormy, there's rain, the waves are massive, and then you looked, and then all of a sudden there was just a massive rock sticking out of the ocean. What would you do? You would swim to that rock like your life depended on it, because it does, right? You are drowning in the ocean. You're gonna throw yourself on that rock and cling to it and be like, man, I cannot let this go because otherwise I'll die. That is the picture of salvation. Yeah, come on, yeah. Is that we are stuck in the ocean and we are drowning in our sin, and we need to cast ourselves on Jesus to save us from our sin. And the reality is that rock, the rock of Jesus, is available to every person on the planet. And in order to throw ourselves on Jesus, it's not that we need to be good enough. It's not that we need to, you know, be perfect or perform in any certain way. It's that we just need to say, Jesus, save me. I'm throwing myself on you. And I believe that you are who you said you are. And I'm completely dependent on you. Would you save me? That's what it means to be saved by our faith. That's what it means to really believe in Jesus. Right? And so, man, guys, that is the picture of what happened to so many of us last night. As we said, Jesus, I'm totally broke and busted without you. You know, I'm completely, you know, I went skydiving and I have no parachute and I am falling. So God, would you come in and save my life? Right? I'm completely dependent on you. And so that is what salvation really means, guys. And that is kind of the first step. So I want just all of us to stand on our feet right now. Okay, we're gonna go to snack here in a second. But I just want to pray all out together. And let's just thank Jesus for the reality of salvation. Man, I was so stirred by y'all's stories this morning. The encounters that you had with God last night. right? Those moments of real revelation where God visits us and speaks to us who we are, speaks to us who he is, and completely save us. Let's just take 30 seconds at the top of our lungs before we go to snack and just thank Jesus. And man, maybe if, you know, you didn't really understand that, if you didn't have a moment like that last night, let's just pray that out together and just say that this morning. Say, Jesus, we need you. I want to throw my life fully on you, and I want to be dependent on you for salvation. Does that sound good? All right, let's just pray, thank Jesus at the top of our lungs for 30 seconds. 1, 2, 3. Jesus, we thank you, God, for salvation, Jesus. We say we need you, Jesus. We need you, God. We're dependent on you, Jesus. We thank you, God, that you've made a way to be saved. Jesus, we thank you, God, for dying on the cross, for paying the penalty of our sin in Jesus' name. We thank you for your salvation, Jesus. Thank you, God. Jesus, we thank you for the cross. We thank you that you've paid the penalty for our sin. We thank you, God, that you are the rock in the ocean, Jesus, that you are totally our salvation, God, and we say we are dependent on you. And we just thank you, God, for the joy that it is to be saved. We thank you for just the reality, God, that we can, because of what you've done, we can be friends with you, God. We thank you that you're not a judgmental or an angry God when you look at us, because when you look at us, you look through the blood of Christ. And so you look at us in the same way that you look at Jesus, totally spotless, totally forgiven. And so we thank you for the joy that it is to be saved in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to a Circuit Rider podcast. For our full library of podcasts and more information about the Circuit Riders, visit us at circuitriders.com. To access worship, messages, and training courses, visit us at circuitriders.tv. To get involved with the day-to-day of what we do or see what's happening across the globe, you can follow us at Circuit Riders on Instagram. And finally, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. We'll see you next time.